Welcome. What follows is Alex Ragone and Arvin Grover's second webcast, broadcast on May 12, 2006. We discussed blogging and education. We hope to continue the conversation next week. Please post comments at www.webcastacademy.net.
All right, well, this is our second webcast, and we are going to talk about blogging today.
Yep.
So, Arvin, let me just start the recording of this whole thing, too. Hold on one second.
For our large podcast audience who will be listening to this on the back end.
The 10 of them. As soon as the stream's going. I'm trying to be more picky this time, so I have a desktop running the stream.
Okay.
And I have my X41 tablet grabbing the audio from the actual stream.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So we'll see how that works. That's the plan today. So, Arvin, how's the week been?
Week's been pretty good.
Today's been nuts for me. I feel very distracted. Susan's in the chat now. Hi, Susan. Welcome. So the agenda for today is to talk about blogging, what it's all about. So, Arvin, do you want to go first?
Sure. Throw me in the deep end.
Story?
Yeah, we wanted to talk a little bit about how we got started blogging. And I actually was at the NYSACE, which is the New York State Technology Conference. Alex was there, too, a couple years back when Will Richardson came to visit us. And Will Richardson, I think his topic was still called RSS, the Killer App for the Educator. And he started showing us blogs and showing us what kinds of things they're doing with RSS. And I, right there, I had my laptop on me. I signed up for my BlogLines account, and I was just floored. I mean, I knew about blogs. I kind of saw a few, but I just didn't know the possibilities. I set up my Blogger account, I think, right after he was done talking. And I posted maybe twice, I think, maybe three times.
Yep.
And I couldn't keep it going. I realized that I really had no interest in to keep writing. I didn't have a topic. I didn't have a sense of where I wanted to go. And so my blog died. Then I came back, I think, probably about a year later to it. And I started thinking about what I wanted to blog about. And I thought about 21st century learning, 21st century education. And then I felt like I had something to talk about.
Yep.
And that's when the blog where I blog now, 21 Apples, that's where I really started to feel like I had a rhythm, and I started to write more and more. Some months it was slow, some months it was fast, but I felt, it was interesting, I hit my stride, I think is the way people put it, in terms of, you know, for blogging. I was able to really know when I had an idea that needed to go on the blog, and I always felt sort of obligated, in a good way, to write for it. And it sort of kept spiraling. You know, I started a blog at work at school. I have a blog on my homepage here. Then my technology team started a blog, and my head of school started a blog. Things started spreading that way.
Definitely, I think that's. I have a very similar story. I remember first signing up for my BlogLines account and getting things going with a Blogger account. Way back, I guess it was two and a half years ago now, when Will Richardson spoke at that conference. Mm-hmm. And then it just went away. We were doing stuff here. We were working on all sorts of interesting projects, but not web-based projects. And then for me, the real shifting point was this past November, when Alan November and a guy from Harvard's Berkman Center spoke.
John Palfrey.
At the conference. Right. And I didn't even make it to the conference, but I podcasted it and I listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
And that shifted me. I said, wow, I don't have to be at the conference to get the content. Yes, I don't get those face-to-face conversations that are super important, but as a dad with three young kids, it's very hard to do what I need to do and get out of the house. So podcasting became kind of a window to the world. So I was absorbing information that way. I was starting to watch blogs getting on the blog lines again. And then I decided I had to jump in. So in December, I hopped in. I registered learningblog.org, and I started blogging. And I have on my to-do list to actually go back and read my blog from the beginning.
That's a great idea.
And I haven't done that yet. I really want to do that. Will Richardson talks about that every once in a while. I think one of the funny things that I noticed, though, is that Will's pressure to publish is so much higher than the real person. Like, I can't write that much. I mean, I have a post that I've been working on for like 3 days now, and I keep editing and fixing and trying to get it right. And it's just talking about all this stuff I've been reading and all of these interesting topics I've been exposed to over the last week. But I can't, like trying to write something and pull it all together is difficult.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I'm having trouble with, is how there's so much coming in. How do you kind of focus what you write on?
Yeah, and I mean, someone like Will Richardson, who's posting 3-4 times a day, sometimes live posting at a conference, I mean, that's just an entirely different way of approaching a blog.
Right, right. I mean, I think that's where we're really starting to have the edges pushed really hard. I mean, with conference blogging, and when you look at, so like today, the Berkman Center's running a conference. They're totally streaming the whole thing. And Jeff Lebo was at the podcast conference a few weeks ago, and they video streamed and audio streamed the whole thing. And that kind of access to information is amazing. There's just too much to get.
Yeah, was Jeff actually at that conference, or?
He was. That was his Tribblecast. There's a great picture of him at Webcast Academy.
Okay.
Because he's got all sorts of interesting stuff there. He's got a picture of him, as well as some other some recordings, as well as video. So he videotaped, webcast, and podcasted his
wow.
stuff.
Wow. That's a lot of media.
Yeah, the picture's pretty ridiculous.
Is that link he's posted right now?
Yeah, I think so. He just put something in the chat room. I was at Podcast Academy.
There you
yes,
go.
You were. So if you go to the homepage, there's a link to all the audio there.
Okay, great.
So that's, I guess, my story. I think some of the part of hitting your stride as a blogger, what I found is when I first started doing it, I was like, I want people to read me.
Yep.
And then you start to say, well, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I have a kid here at school who reads my blog. Mm-hmm. And there are other people around the world who read it. I got one of those neat little maps that shows where people hit my site from.
Nice.
Which is kind of interesting to just see where things are coming from.
Yeah, definitely.
But the comments come slowly, and it's exciting when they come, and the conversation is interesting. I think there's a conversation about the lurkers in the blogosphere
yeah.
as well. And the people who just post comments. And that's an important part of the whole equation as well.
Yeah, I had the same desire, you know, when I first thought, I'm like, okay, I'm writing. I want people to read. I remember starting my first webpage way back when it was the same thing. You put that hit counter at the bottom, and it was so aggravating to come back and see that you've spent all this time and no one has hit your webpage. And you've sort of like poured your heart and soul into writing these pieces. But I think every now and then when I do get that 1, 2, or 3 comments that come in, it's really rewarding.
Yes,
from a definitely. Writing perspective. And one of my original goals was to get more perspective on my positions, like what I think about education and what other, and I want to just hear from other people. You know, we tend to just think about our own school and talk to people in our own school who necessarily don't have an outside perspective. So it's been neat to have that kind of interaction with people I don't know.
Definitely. I found the EdTech Network has been amazing to get public and private and global perspectives on
right.
things. People in Australia, all over the place, people in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the Canadians are the biggest blockers.
Biggest? The biggest volume-wise?
Yeah, it's amazing. There's some amazing with Stephen Downs, George Siemens, just content.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Cormier. Uh-huh. Have to give Dave a plug. So, but I think the thing about the personal piece of blogging and what's interesting about it is that it's that reflection mm-hmm. and thinking about writing as you're reading. And Richardson hits that a lot when he talks. Will Richardson talks a lot about that. It's that process of reflecting and linking and really bringing your reading together in a concise way. And I think that that's where it can be really exciting in the classroom.
Yeah.
So you said that your upper school head is blogging. What kind of topics are they blogging about?
Well, it very much started as at first as like post my letter home. You know, just
right.
It's an electronic copy of a letter. And then we had this great conversation talking about, you know, how is this different? How does this give you a new opportunity that you don't have with your standard kind of letter home addressing the various things that are happening? And what we kind of came to is that, you know, now he can post things that he would never, ever write home about. So, you know, something interesting happened in a conversation in the hallway, or he actually has students send him, like, poetry that they like, and he posts that. And so he's getting sort of a micro look at the school versus where I think administrative documents tend to be very macro level. And so now people can be way more in tune with what's happening in the school in a lot closer level, which I think is the really best part that I've seen come out of it.
Right, which is really neat.
Yeah, it's just things people would never know about.
Yep.
I mean, you might know about things in your kid's grade, but you might not know about something the grade above that's happening.
Right.
It could just be a movie night. It could be a fundraiser. It could be, you know, a great athletic event or whatever it was.
Yep, and just that reflection or the talking about that.
And we're walking that tough line of, do we allow comments on blogs? You know, that's a tough one for schools to answer, I think.
Last Thursday, I did a presentation to our high school kids, our upper schoolers, on social networking. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took the approach of, this is what your world is, guys, and what are you going to make of it? What do you want people to see you as when they go and Google you? And I asked them to step it up and think about what they're putting up there and set an interesting example of who they want to be. And I know that as a teenager, that's really hard. But at the end, I started a blog post on my school blog, which allows for commenting. They have to be approved, but it does allow for commenting. Uh-huh. And I threw up my PowerPoint slides, and I've gotten some really interesting responses to it. And I think they're struggling with the public-private line. That's the thing that struck me the most, where they have these internet profiles, and they're saying, if I put something up there that could get me in trouble, if I did it at school, can I still get in trouble? And that's one of the questions I think is really interesting that they're really hammering on and very interested in. One of our faculty is really concerned about that too. Like, at what point is somebody going to do something online that creates that gets the school to get involved in it? And I don't know.
That's,
you know,
that's like, such a gray area. It's something.
And so he's. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it's something like physical domain. It's been a little clearer. We're saying, you know, things happen off of our property or off of our campus, or, you know, we can't be accountable for that, and we can't be watching your kids when they're at a friend's house. But now the line is sort of blurry because, yes, they may be doing it off-site, but then they can read it on-site. It has ramifications how the kids interact in school. There's so many things that happen. There's bullying that goes on that continues in school.
It's really interesting. I'm not sure what the solution is.
Yeah, we're not there yet. This is, like you said, we're still feeling this out. This is a whole new mode of communication we've never had access to. Right now in New York City, the public schools are dealing with cell phones as a hot topic.
Yeah.
It's in the news every day that, you know, they banned cell phones in New York City schools since 1988. So, you know, that's coming up on not a long time, right? And parents are still protesting, saying we need to be able to access our kids anytime. And that's what we're going to start to see again. The schools are saying, oh, they can cheat with it, you know, during tests. They can text message each other, and it's distracting. And I think it's the same thing. It's the blog, the social networking stuff comes right into school. There's no real stopping it.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is there. It's very interesting. That New York City cell phone thing really makes me angry. I just think, how can they actually do that? It's pretty amazing. So I posted on the on this guy's blog who had written about that this week, because it just makes me so angry, because there are so many opportunities you can have there, and the argument about cheating is just I don't know. I think that that's a weak argument.
I posted a while back on my blog about, I'm trying to remember what county it was. I should look it up. It was an area that was taking SMS messages. You could text message from your cell phone and ask questions about safe sex. And someone like an expert would reply back to you with a text message. And I just thought that was just such an amazingly great idea. You know, kids, what kids are doing, they're going to text message you. Hopefully they get a quick response back.
What
yes,
do I do?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh.
Hey, Robert Misonis, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your last name, Robert, asked in the chat room whether our teacher admin blogs are generally run off our school server or on a third party commercial blog site. So what are you doing with that?
We started off using Blogger, and the reason we used them is because it was easy, and they allowed us to FTP our blogs onto our server. So while they still powered it, it was all stored on our computer behind our passwords. So they weren't public. You know, we're a girls' school. We're really, our whole internet has always been private, so we wanted to keep that model. So we use Blogger to FTP stuff into our intranet. Then we started playing around. We had an extra server. We started playing around with Linux, and then we installed some WordPress blogs, and so that powers itself, obviously. So that we've been done a bit of both.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we're actually running a few standalone installations of WordPress here on a Linux server. And then we're also we have a WordPress MU installation, which is their multi-user blog, which is a really interesting kind of shift on WordPress. If you go to WordPress.com and register for a blog there, that's the MU interface, and it's cool because it allows you to assign blogs for every kid or every faculty member. And we're an all-boys school, and I've been a little bit more renegade about it. All of our MU blogs are wide open. And I haven't had any big problems. You had mentioned spam on your blog. And on our MU blog, I've gotten a little bit of blog spam. Not a lot. It's only when I'm really linking to people that I'm getting spam on that. The other neat thing, on my personal standalone blog, I'm running their anti-spam plugin, and that seems to be working really
well. Yeah, I've heard good things. That's Spam Killer or something like that?
Hold on one second. Let me get into
this. Yeah, I've heard good things about the WordPress spam plugins.
Where is it? Plugin?
Yeah, on my personal blog, I actually use a Ruby on Rails blog called Typo, which is sort of some bleeding edge kind of approach to blogging, but I just figured I would learn a little Ruby on Rails, which is a programming language. Ruby's the programming language. I thought I'd learn a little while I was doing that.
It's ASCII. What is it called? ACISMET configuration.
KISMET. Okay.
ACISMET.
Is that what you said?
A K I S.
Yeah.
And you need a WordPress API key, so you actually have to register at WordPress.com to get
it.
But it's really sweet. So Robert also asked, is there a list of excellent blogs that would be great to use as an example? And that'll get me to our next piece, because we just registered a wiki We're going to put our show notes.
Yep.
And that is at agar-webcast.com. What's the domain?
Wikispaces.
Wikispaces.com. And we will put a link with the podcast information, and we'll try to throw up as many links to good administrator blogs as we can find. I know that, who was it? David, what's the guy's last name at 2 Cents?
Warlick.
Warlick had a thread on great administrator blogs a couple weeks ago. He called it Admin 2.0. And where, let me see, David.
He also has a great podcast. If people are interested in listening to podcasting, podcast David Warlick.
Yeah, he did a podcast last week on open source software. That was really interesting. So I guess, Robert, the people to latch onto and look for information on blogging, if you're really interested, I would highly recommend it going to Will Richardson's blog, which is Weblog Ed. And if you Google Will Richardson, that'll be the top link. And he wrote a book called Blogs, Wikis, and Podcasts and Other Powerful Web Tools for the Classroom. And that's a really excellent book.
Yeah.
Probably the best on this kind of technology at this point.
Yeah, there's a link to it in the chat room, too. We'll post that on the wiki later.
And then David Warlick, although he can be kind of out there at times, he's very theoretical.
Yeah.
He has some great resources on his site, and he runs Blogmeister, which is his own personal programmed blog server that he has built. And has tons of stuff going on.
Yeah, that's just for schools to use, Blogmeister. So if, you know, sort of keeping your blog private, and that's a really good resource for people who need to do that.
Right.
Yeah, Rob.
So Robert's throwing up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see, he said.
So he was talking about being a girls' school, about safety. Yeah, it's definitely a concern for us, and I'm sure it's a concern for everyone, not just girls' school. It's just I think girls' schools tend to get a little more focus of attention. I got an email from a colleague of mine today, let me pull that up, where he was talking about if you identify yourself in a chat room as a girl, you get 25 times more sexual propositions, advances, etc., than if you don't. And so I think there definitely is. That was on National Public Radio. I'll post a link to that. I mean, that kind of stat or data, I didn't give you a good link there. I'll give you a better link. That shows that there is some real concern for girls and girls' schools to think about with how our kids are involved online. Because if they identify who they are, they're exposed to a whole new field of experience. So we are doing things like teaching our kids about safety. We have a huge internet safety program we started in second grade and go all the way to high school, and privacy. We have two curriculum. We call it internet safety and internet privacy. And they're connected, but they're different. Because, yes, our girls are exposed to literally physical dangers from predators and things like that, but two, they're exposed to being sort of humiliated online and objectified and just embarrassed. And those are both things we want to avoid.
Yeah. I think it's really it's a tough time. I think one of the things that for me is there's so many good things going on. So what percentage of bad stuff is happening and how do you do it safely? Mm-hmm. And I think in Will's book, Bud the Teacher also has a lot of really good safety techniques. So I would check out Bud the Teacher's blog. And they talk about how you really need to use first names and there needs to be some sort of anonymity if you're public blogging. But the power of having somebody in England post on your blog is huge.
Yeah.
Dave Cormier is running an 8th grade ELGG installation and it's a private one, so only certain eighth graders can get in. I think that that's the kind of safe place that's going to happen, where it's going to have to happen if we're going to have this stuff work. And I'm trying to think of the site. It's either Sun or Oracle. Do you know that they have a whole like,
yes,
student learning
I know
site?
Exactly what you're talking about. I see their ads in the magazines all the time, and I can't remember right. The name of it. We'll post that one on the wiki for sure. They are running it sort of a portal for students yep. And teachers. Yeah,
and it's supposed to be really good. So I would say those are the places you want to start. Look at some privacy, but then there are people. There's a guy in Canada who blogs. With his math classes, and that's all open. There, he's just using Blogger, and there are tons of different blogs out there that are really interesting and on the internet, and they're not having many problems. So I think that you need to balance the pros and cons and make a decision yourself.
Yeah, I think school culture really dictates what your approach has to be on this. I think starting slowly and raising things up is one way. I think you have to give administrators, parents, and students confidence in this type of tool, like a blog. And once they start to see that what can happen with it, a lot more.
Definitely. Somebody just asked for the webcast.
I can repost that.
I mean the wiki link. Hold on one second.
There we go. Yeah, the WikiLeak is Agar. The Agar comes from Arvin Grover and Alex Ragone. Huh? In case you didn't figure that out. But agar-webcast.wikispaces.com.
And I just pasted it. I just pasted it in the chat.
One from each of us. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Great. So I think we want to start to wrap up, Arvin.
Yeah. So a few people joined in late, but...
Hi, Howard.
And Chadwick. Carlin. You could definitely tune in and grab the podcast.
I should have it up by 8 or 9 tonight.
There you go. So Alex will upload that. You can catch what we were talking about. We'll also spend some time putting all the notes on the wiki so that people can really use that as a resource.
Yep, definitely. And I just want to mention some of the other resources. Since we're running with EdTech Talk and they're supporting our webcast, thanks again to Jeff Lebo and Dave Cormier for hosting our webcast. Their school computing wiki, their EdTech Talk wiki has some great information on people who want to become bloggers. There's wikis, blogging, podcasting. I'm going to post that link in the chat room. They had a whole conference where they created collaborative information there. Howard said he was listening all along.
Oh, okay.
He just got into the chat. That's great. Thanks for listening, Howard. So I just threw that up in the chat room, the modules. There's some really great information in there. And then Weblog Ed is really good as well.
Yeah, I'm also just posting a link right now to the School Computing Wiki for people who are not familiar. It's been a mostly independent school driven, but some other college level people have joined in. People publishing stuff that they're good at, stuff that they know about, so that we could all kind of share in that knowledge. I have my students publishing right there right now. So there's all kinds of ways to participate in that as well.
That's an amazing resource. I would highly recommend everybody check that out. I don't spend enough time there myself, but it's really important. I'm thinking about putting some information on smart boards up there.
Oh, soon. That'd be very helpful. A lot of people are talking about it.
I get into my smart board ritual every year. So next week... we could probably actually go on blogging or some other topic. Mm-hmm. So we would love for everybody to give us some feedback and let us know what you think about the show. And thanks for everybody for checking us out. You can download the podcast later on at www.webcastacademy.net. And again, this has been webcast number 2. of Alex Ragone and Arvin Grover's webcast. One day we'll have a name.
Yeah, we will. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Bye.